In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. I read a newspaper article some time ago that was entitled, "Who Am I and What Am I Worth?" And the newspaper article questioned and asked if we're made of a combination of complex chemicals and so on, what is the human body worth from a chemical point of view? And it went on to say that we have enough iron in our bodies to make 6 nails. We have enough calcium in our bodies to make paint, to paint and whitewash 1 chicken coop. We have enough phosphorus in our bodies to tip 1,000 matches, match heads. And we have enough potassium and sulfur in our bodies to blow up 1 toy car. We have enough fat to make 10 bars of soap. Some of us have a little bit more. We can make it also. And we have enough sugar to sweeten 1 cup of tea. However, when you add up all these 39 chemical compounds and together you weigh them up by weight together, the value on the stock exchange is about $1,985.77. Now, that will buy you a good laptop computer. It will buy you 2,722 Mars bars. If you can convince 7 of your friends to donate their bodies to you, you can get a late model Suzuki Swift. So the big question is, who am I and what am I worth? In our gospel text, there's a familiar story. And the story is of treasure in a field and a pearl of great price. Now, some Christian commentators would say that the pearl in our text is the kingdom of God, and that we are the seekers. That somehow we're on a journey or to find this spiritual pearl of great price. And when that we are to seek that, we are to search for that, that we are to expend all cost to attain that. And when we do find that pearl of great price, when we do find this treasure, then we will be received. And we will receive instant wisdom and divine revelation will all be ours. So let's look at our text, because if that's true this morning, I want that. So we're looking at 44 to 46 in particular. It says again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, where a man found and hid. That man found treasure and hid it, and for the joy over him, he sells everything that he has and buys that field. Then Jesus says again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now it's interesting, Jesus, just in 2 verses, says, the kingdom of heaven is like, it's like treasure. So firstly, men throughout the centuries have always been inspired by treasure and riches. We have great examples of this genre in the Indiana Jones movies, in that franchise. It's all about treasure. It's all about, you know, the fixation on the search for hidden treasure and the fixation on the search for lost civilizations and ancient wisdom. And so it is with the man in our text, particularly the man who's looking for the pearl. He's a pearl freak. Jesus says his whole life is that of pearls. He lives pearls, he slept pearls, he ate pearls, he drank pearls. Pearls were his passion. And the Bible says he comes across a pearl of great price. And suddenly he's faced with a decision of a lifetime. What is he going to do? And we can imagine that the palms of his hands were sweating, his head was spinning. In verse 44, he says, for the joy over it, or in his joy, he sells everything. He sells everything. He sold his existing pearl collection, his house, his land. He sells everything for this one pearl of great price. Now today the passion of this man is not understood, because the ancient people understood how a pearl was formed. The ancient people understood how a piece of foreign debris enters into the confines of the shell and wounds and damages the tender flesh of that shell creature. And now the creature secretes a substance called nacre, which embodies and covers the foreign debris, and that's what creates the pearl. Now, ancient people held great respect for the pearl because they understood the torment and the pain that created the pearl. So they placed great value on pearls. Today, there's diamonds, emeralds, sapphires, rubies, gold, silver, all hold greater value. However, history declares that Cleopatra owned two of the largest pearls of all time. So to the ancient people, pearls held a much greater price. They held the highest price. In fact, they were the highest jewel. They were the highest priced jewel during ancient times. And it's no consequence this afternoon, or this morning, wherever we are, that the gates of heaven are made from pearls. Revelation 21:21 says, the 12 gates are 12 pearls. Each individual gate was made from a single pearl. The broad street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. So the gates of heaven, our entrance into salvation, are made from single pearls. So firstly, the people who heard Jesus speak this parable understood the gravity of the story. This pearl freak, this man who was seeking up, they understood that. Secondly, it's important that we understand what the pearl is and who the merchant is. This is more than just a parable. Jesus twice says that this, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, is like this. In other words, this is what eternity is about. So let's have a deeper look at what Jesus is saying about the kingdom of God this morning. As I said earlier, some claim that we are the merchant and the kingdom of God is the pearl. That we should be searching, that we should be seeking, that we should be paying the price. But there's one problem with that analysis. Before I got saved, before I became a Christian, before I gave my heart to Jesus, I was not seeking the kingdom of God or his righteousness. Let me be brutally honest. I was not on a spiritual search. I had nothing to offer God for my salvation. I was chasing after my own selfish desires. And if it be true, before you became a Christian this morning, many of you were chasing after your own selfish desires. God meant nothing to me. I didn't care less about God's kingdom. I wasn't looking for God. I was looking for a good time, and I was also looking to take whatever I could to kill the pain that was in my life, to kill the hurt that was in my life. I was definitely looking for a self-righteous reason to exist. And I believe at that time I was a good person, and someday my goods would outweigh my bads, and somehow I'd accidentally skate into heaven by the skin of my teeth. But the truth is this morning that God found me. I wasn't looking for God. He found me. And if you're a follower of Jesus and you're listening to this podcast or this live stream this morning, he also found you. I didn't have anything to sell to get that pearl of great price. I had nothing to offer God. I was a sinner. I was bankrupt before God. The Bible says in Isaiah 64:6 says, a person's own righteousness is but filthy rags. I had nothing to offer God except for stinking, filthy rags. But God in Jesus Christ had everything to offer me. The Bible says God offers us the robe of righteousness. He offers us the garment of salvation, so that when God looks down from heaven, he sees not us, but he sees Jesus. The real truth of the parable that Jesus spoke is the one seeking pearls, and the one who sold everything to purchase that one pearl of great price is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Holy Spirit is declaring in this text that we are the pearl of great price, and that God is obsessed with you. God is having a love affair with you. Whether you go to church or you do not go to church, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, he is obsessed, not with some big church with stained glass windows, but the parable tells us that God is obsessed with you. We are God's treasure in the earth. 2 Corinthians 3:7 says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God. We are the pearl of great price. God sets a highest value on people. The Bible declares he loves us so much. In John 3:16, we all know this scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It was Jesus who sold everything. His very life. He sold everything to purchase the pearl of great price. Matthew 20:28 says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many, a ransom. The fact is, Jesus paid more for you than the devil could ever afford. He paid the price, and he paid that price willingly. He sold all to pursue the pearl of great price. And we are that pearl of great price. Listen to me. This morning, you don't have a sin greater than the price that was paid by Jesus. Finally, pearls are the most beautiful jewel because pearls are made from and by a living creature. As we discussed earlier, a foreign object wounds the oyster, wounds the shell creature. The substance that this creature secretes is called nacre, and it forms around that foreign object and protects the tender flesh within inside the confines of the shell. And as we move through our Christian life, there will be trials, there will be tribulations, there will be tests, there will be hurts, there will be scrapes, there will be wounds. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We just heard that beautiful passage from Romans about how the Spirit works in our life. And out of all the trials, out of all the hurts, out of all the tribulations, out of all the tests, God is creating a beautiful pearl. And we must believe that all things work together for good. We must embrace God's redemptive character and receive his forgiveness and his grace. And from this revelation, the Holy Spirit has a healing nature. And that nature is similar to that oyster's healing nacre, soothing the wounds of our soul, even as a healing balm for the scrapes of our life, for the tragedies of our life. Romans speaks about that in the scripture we just read. At times it might feel like you're dying, and this life isn't always easy to live, but God is building and molding your life by his Holy Spirit with his soothing nacre, taking off the sharp edges, the hurts, the tribulations. There will be trials, there will be tests. Everyone has them. But as Christians, we are called to give up our right to bitterness. We are called to give up our right to revenge, to self-pity. And we need to let God take the hurtful and the ugly things and let him build a victorious life. A life that will give him all the glory and all the praise. But most of all, a life that will be a jewel for heaven. This morning in the Eucharist, we will celebrate what Jesus did over 2,000 years ago. Jesus paid the ultimate price so that you and I could have a home in heaven. And the God of the universe the Bible says, stepped out of eternity, disguised himself as a human being, and walked on planet Earth. And he lived the life that we should have lived. And he died the death that we should have died. And Jesus paid the ultimate price and took the ultimate punishment that you and I should have faced. And this is the glorious truth this morning of the gospel. Jesus died in your place. He paid the price so that you could come into a relationship with God. It's not about what ritual we do or what ritual we observe. It's not about what church you and I go to, or if we're baptized, or if we give money to the church. The fact is, you and I are a pearl of great price, and you and I are the treasure in the field. And Jesus gave all. He paid the price for our soul that no one else could have. Jesus is in love with you this morning. Our text says this, that the kingdom of heaven is all about God's love affair with his people. It's about God wanting the best for you here on earth and for in the world to come. God's got big things for you and I. He has great things for us to do. And if you're struggling this morning with bitterness, if you're struggling this morning with unforgiveness, if you're struggling this morning with hurt feelings or repulsive feelings towards another person, or with alienation, or with lack of obedience to the things of God, I would love to pray for you right now, both here and for those who are online. I would like to pray a prayer of encouragement. So let's bow our heads as we close. Father God, I believe you when you say that you would make us the head and not the tail, that we are above and not beneath. Father, in the name of Jesus, encourage those who are struggling this day with bitterness, unforgiveness, hurt feelings, those who have repulsive feelings towards another person. Lord God, I call in the healing power of your Holy Spirit to soothe the hurts and the wounds of each tribe, of each tribulation, of each scrape.